1:1-8. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. All right, we have the privilege of hearing Ron share again. After last week's sermon, I've been looking forward to this week's all week. Come on up, Ron.
Thanks, Kristen.
One quick question, Andy. Do we have that video for later on?
Sure.
Not right now. Just
later.
We're good? Yeah. Okay. Awesome. I'm going to take this mask off. It's good to be back. I'm looking forward to this message. This is a message that I'm actually
preaching more to me than probably you. It's something I'm working on in my life and trying to get better at. And I'm really hoping that God will be glorified and that you will become the hands and feet and mouth of Jesus Christ this week. Have you ever met a person with the gift of encouragement? He or she is an amazing person to have in your life. When you talk to them, you always leave feeling better about yourself. Encouragement has the power to help others grow, persevere, develop, and thrive. It is like the rain that plants need to keep growing, and it is crucial for us as works in progress. I believe that the writer of the book of Philippians, Paul, had the gift of encouragement. Most of us don't have that kind of gift, but we can still learn how to become better at being an encourager. Good work. Great job. Nice goal. Great report card. Beautiful voice. Fantastic game. These are the types of words we often hear people say, which are all nice to hear, but if you pay attention, you will soon realize that most of what we call encouraging words are about performance. And they have left many of us feeling like we always have to do more or accomplish something great in order to feel encouraged and positively spoken to by those around us. If we aren't super talented, really smart, or do great things on a regular basis, we may rarely feel words of encouragement and the love and acceptance we so badly need. It also leaves us feeling devastated when we fail or are unsuccessful in something we do. Encouragement is the ability to show value and appreciation of someone for who they are. To be honest, I struggle big time in this area. I put a lot of emphasis on performance. I admire those who perform really well, and I push myself to perform well. But true encouragement is more than giving praise for something that has been done. It is the ability to show value and appreciation for someone for who they are. The English word encouragement is actually built around the Latin word cor, meaning heart. Encouragement is about re-heartening. It focuses on the inside, not the outside. It is using words to dispel the negative and focus on the positive. It is about changing the you aren't and you can't to you are and you can. In the book of Philippians, Paul begins with expressing his affection for the church of Philippi, for they were his very first church. He wants to encourage them. He wants to let them know how much they mean to him. He also wants to let them know that he sees God working in them, and they are doing God's work along with him. He uses various ways to encourage them, and his words can help us become better at encouraging the people in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." The Greek word for encourage here is the word okodamai, or okodamai. It literally means to build up. It is defined as the act of one who promotes another one's growth. Specifically, in many of the verses that where it is used, Strong's Dictionary says it is best defined as promoting the growth of Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness. It focuses on developing godly character, the growth of who a person is. Notice it starts with what is already there, a foundation. The feeling is that they have something of value already inside them. And our job is to build on that, beginning with who the person is in Christ. We then use encouragement to give them the rain and sunshine that is needed for them to grow and become who God intends them to be. One of the things I like to do is use what I call a $5 example. I've been using this for a few years, and when I taught in the Christian school, I used it a lot more, but I still use it in the public school system. I just am a little bit more careful with how I use it. I use it particularly with girls' phys ed classes when I teach health. And last semester, I actually used it right on the very first day of school. I bring in the money and I say to them, "Who wants $5? And of course, the whole class will lift their hands. And then I'll crumple it up and I'll say, "Who wants the $5 bill now?" And of course they'll say, "Yeah, I still want it." And then I'll often have mud. And I'll take mud and I'll splatter it all over and I'll crunch it all up. And I'll say, "Who wants it now?" And they will all put up their hands, or most anyway. And I'll say, "Why?" And they'll almost always say to me, "Because it's still worth $5. And I want to use that as an illustration that it doesn't matter where they come from, what they've gone through, what they look like, what their past is, how much dirt or junk they have in their lives, we all have the same value. We are all worth something. And that doesn't change person to person. And then I talk about how they should treat each other in the class because they are all equally worth, no matter what they've gone through and what they are bringing into the class. You see, we all have value as human beings, but even more, we all have value as God's children. Genesis 1:26 says we are all created in God's image. Psalms 139, 13 to 14 tells us that we are all created wonderful. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. I recently talked to a girl who was in that class earlier this year. And she told me there's one thing, and you always hope as a teacher that kids will remember something that you taught them. And it's amazing to me how little they do. But the girl said to me, "There's one thing I do remember from class." And I said, "What's that?" And she said to me, "I remember the day you told me you appreciated how kind a person I was, or I am." And she said, "I think about that a lot." To me, that was evidence that we need to focus more on what we see on the inside, the positive that each person has deep inside them, to build up their sense of worth based on their character. We need to let them realize their worth is more than what they look like or what they do. They are special, and they're valued just the way they are. Another word translated encouragement in the Bible has a slightly different meaning and brings even more depth and understanding to what encouragement is and how to do it. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." It is really awesome that we are able to meet together on Sundays and other days of the week in the various ministries to get together and pray. And last time I was here, they were talking about a worship time. It is awesome to get together and encourage one another in their faith. That word used here is paraklesis. It means to call near, to comfort, to refresh, to encourage. It is like saying, come over here and we'll do it together. I'll help you. One source I read used the definition to take to oneself, to take by the hand in order to lead or walk with. I love that picture. We want to encourage others by giving them value for who they are and then ask them to come alongside of us, to walk with us, to work together in the same way that God works and walks alongside of us. Take my hand as I learn to take God's hand, and we will do the journey of life together. Hebrews 3:12-13 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." This is the same Greek word, but the emphasis here is to encourage each other not to sin and to live holy lives. We walk together through life as believers, encouraging one another in living out our faith. And it's not supposed to be done just once in a while. We need to encourage one another daily. And we can do that through conversations, through phone calls, through text messages, and other creative ways. As Christians, let's get in the habit of being daily encouragers. Let the words that come from our mouths each day build up one another and lead to the growth and development that God wants to do in each one of us. This will also help us build positive relationships with all those around us. Now that we have a better understanding of what encouragement is, let's see how Paul uses his gift of encouragement to encourage the Philippians. We're going to start by looking at chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. There's a couple things I want you to notice here. The first is Paul does not use an authority statement. In most of his letters, and you can check it out, in most of his letters, he refers to himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus to establish his authority over the church that he's talking to. But this was his first church that he established. And the people there have a special place in his heart. He sees them as friends that are doing the journey of life and spreading the gospel with him. And he is talking to all the believers, not just the overseers and the deacons. They are all God's holy people. The second one I want you to pay attention to, even more so for the sake of the gift of encouragement or using encouragement, is the fact that he calls them God's holy people. This allows them to know that Paul is not looking at their faults and pointing out all their problems. He is seeing them as God sees them. They are holy and set apart. They have a reconciled relationship with God due to their faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for them. He paid the price for their sin. They are forgiven. And Paul focuses on who they are for eternity. They are God's holy people. You are God's holy people. The people in your life who are believers are God's holy people. And we need to see them through the eyes of God, that they are set apart regardless of their faults and problems. To be an encourager, we need to look beyond the faults of others and see the good that is in them and how God is working in them. This is especially true of those who are fellow believers. It is easy to look at people's faults and weaknesses. It's easy to remember their past failures. But we need to look at others as fellow believers who are saved from their sins by the same faith that we are. They are God's holy people, just as I am. We need to look for the evidence of God working and living in them. And when we see that evidence, we need to let them know that we see it. We need to see them as God sees them through the cleansing blood of His Son. Then in Philippians 1:2, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. This is an amazing way to encourage others. Let others know you are thinking of them and praying for them. And that shows that they are important to you. But by letting them know that you are thanking God for them, goes one step further. It lets them know that you value the relationship you have with them. Whether that is a husband or a wife, a sibling, a child, a grandparent, a friend, a co-worker, pastor, or anyone else you can think of. I can let someone know that I am praying for them, and that shows that I care for them. But when I tell them that I'm thanking God for them, that is expressing a high value on their life. They mean something to me because I'm thanking God that they are there. And this is a fantastic way to encourage others. Do we demonstrate the importance of others to us by not just thinking and praying for them, but by thanking God for them? And if not, we should be. And if so, we need to let them know it. We need to let them know that not only are we thanking or we're praying to God for them and their needs and for their life, but you are thankful that they are in your life. You're thankful to God for your husband or your wife. You are thankful for the kids that you have. You are thankful for the grandchildren you have. You are thankful for the boss you have, the workers you have. Are you thankful for them? And if not, you need to talk to God and cause your heart to soften so that you know that you can go to them and say, I thank God that you are in my life. You mean that much to me. Philippians 1:4 says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Again, we don't want to say it if we don't mean it. But we need to look past the frustrations and the failures, and we need to focus on the positive. Think about what life would be like if that person was not there. And then we need to rejoice in the fact that they are your friends, your family, and your loved ones. And then we need to let them know it. These are great words to hear. They know how powerful that statement is. It does not focus on their performance or their looks. Instead, it focuses on who they are and the value they have in your life. This is true encouragement. If you cannot just thank God for them, but you can honestly say that that person brings joy to your life, let them know it. Because that is a powerful way to encourage one another. I'm not just thankful for you. You bring joy to my heart. You bring joy to my soul. We talked last week about the need for happiness and how we come across happiness by serving God and others. When people bring joy to your heart and you are so happy that they are there, let them know it. Those are encouraging words to hear. Because of your partnership, Philippians 1:5 says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day unto now. This is the reason that Paul experiences the joy that he has in having them in his life. They are helping spread the gospel too. This is Paul's mission. His ultimate focus is the gospel, which he summarizes in chapter 2. There are two points that we can take from this verse. First, let fellow believers, especially your loved ones, know how much it means to you that they have experienced God's grace and are fellow disciples of Jesus. I have seen the heartbreak of parents whose children are not serving the Lord. And if your child is serving the Lord and your grandchildren are serving the Lord, you need to look past their faults and failures and tell them how much you value the fact that they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's nothing more important in this world than the fact that they have been saved. There's nothing more important. And if that person is saved, if your wife or husband is saved, you need to let them know how much that means to you. You don't have to totally agree about their theology or about the way they live it out. We all have differences. We all are saved by faith, not by works. And let me tell you something, they will be sharing an eternal home with you. So get used to it now. God loves them and saved them the same way he loves and saves you despite your failures, despite your weaknesses, despite the fact that you've let them down from time to time. We need to let them know that we appreciate and celebrate the fact that they are Christians too. Encouraging fellow believers. Number two is encouraging fellow believers by reminding them that we are doing life together. We are living out the gospel as fellow believers. None of us are perfect, but we need to encourage each other to do the best we can to live the way that God wants us to live, and to encourage each other and to share the love of God with others and to be a light in our world. This leads us to our next verse. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ. It is a great reminder that though we fail and make mistakes, God is still working in us. Despite our weaknesses and our struggle with sin, God is not done with us yet. We can encourage others around us by reminding them that God has not given up on them. Even when they're going through tough times, even when they're going through struggles, even when they've sinned and let God down, even when they've made mistakes, God is still working in them. God still loves them, and God is right there beside them, holding their hand. God, who began a good work in them, will finish the work in the end. That is when we will all receive our eternal reward. Our acceptance of God's free gift of salvation, our struggling to live it out in our lives, will be worth it all in the end, in the day of Christ Jesus. We encourage others by reminding them of that promise. But notice that Paul does it in a positive way. He takes the positive approach. He's not pointing out the things they've done to let God down. He says that God is doing a good work in them and tells them that that work will continue until the day of Christ. And then Philippians 1:7 says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. I talked earlier about Paul's affection for the Philippians. They were his first church. They had a special place in his heart. There are a lot of people in our lives that also have a special place in our heart. It is important for us to express that in words regularly. That may be through an email or a text or in person. It is encouraging to know that people really love or appreciate us. I keep an encouragement file in which I keep all the letters and cards and emails from people who have taken the time to express their love and appreciation of me. From time to time, I will look at some of those cards or those emails, and it encourages me that my life makes a difference. My daughter, Ashley, has the special gift of encouragement in this area. My other two kids do it too. But Ashley has a way with words. She will write little notes or letters, especially at Christmas time or on my birthday or my wife's birthday, and she expresses the value that people have in her life. Those notes and cards often bring my wife and I to tears. But it is such an encouragement to know that she recognizes the value that we have in her life. We too should take time to do the same thing, to let people know specifically why you love and appreciate them. That is the type of encouragement that can make a huge difference in someone's life. And then Philippians 1:8 says, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul misses the people of the Philippian church. He says that God is his witness to how much he longs for them. It seems evident that he would love to spend more time with them. Probably particularly so because currently when he writes this letter, he's under house arrest and being guarded and in chains. We should never underestimate the value of time spent together. It is great to say that we miss someone. That shows our affection for them and can encourage them like Paul does in this verse. But, especially in today's society, it is even better to make time for them. That is how we can encourage each other more. It means a lot when we take the time to spend time with them. It shows that we enjoy being with them, that they are not just an inconvenience to us. We can set things aside and make them our priority, especially our kids and our grandkids. We're going to show you a video called Love is Spelled T-I-M-E, and then I'll close.
In the faint light of the attic, an old man, tall and stooped, bent his great frame and made his way to a stack of boxes that sat near one of the little half windows. Brushing aside a wisp of cobwebs, he tilted the top box toward the light and began to carefully lift up one old photograph album after another. Eyes once bright but not dim, searched longingly for the source that had drawn him here. It began with a fond recollection of the love of his life, long gone. And somewhere in these albums was a photo of her he hoped to rediscover. Silent as a mouse, he patiently opened the long-buried treasures that soon was lost in a sea of memories. Although his world had not stopped spinning when his wife left it, the past was more alive in his heart than his present aloneness. Setting aside one of the dusty albums, he pulled from the box what appeared to be a journal from his grown son's childhood. He could not recall ever having seen it before, or that his son had ever kept a journal. Why did Elizabeth always save the children's old junk? He wondered, shaking his white head. Opening the yellowed pages, he glanced over a short reading and his lips curved in an unconscious smile. Even his eyes brightened as he read the words that spoke clear and sweet to his soul. It was the voice of the little boy who had grown up far too fast in this very house, and whose voice had grown fainter and fainter over the years. In the utter silence of the attic, the words of a guileless six-year-old worked their magic and carried the old man back to a time almost totally forgotten. Entry after entry stirred a sentimental hunger in his heart, like the longing a gardener feels in the winter for the fragrance of spring flowers. But it was accompanied by the painful memory that his son's simple recollections those days were very different from his own. But how different? Reminded that he had kept a daily journal of his own business activities over the years, he closed his son's journal and turned to leave, having forgotten the cherished photo that originally triggered his search. Hunched over to keep from bumping his head on the rafters, the old man stepped to the wooden stairway and made his descent, then headed down a carpeted stairway that led to the den. Opening a glass cabinet door, he reached in and pulled out an old business journal. Turning, he sat down at his desk and placed the two journals beside each other. His was leather-bound and engraved neatly with his name in gold, while his son's was tattered and the name Jimmy had been nearly scuffed from its surface. He ran a long, skinny finger over the letters, as though he could restore what had been worn away with time and use. As he opened his journal, the old man's eyes fell upon an inscription that stood out because it was so brief in comparison to other days. In his own neat handwriting were these words: "Wasted the whole day fishing with Jimmy. Didn't catch a thing." With a deep sigh and a shaking hand, he took Jimmy's journal and found the boy's entry for the same day, June 4. Large, scrawling letters pressed deeply into the paper read: "Went fishing with my dad. Best day of my life."
So do we show a desire to be with those around us? That is another way we can be an encourager. It demonstrates that they have value in their lives and that they matter. So to summarize, to be an encourager, look beyond their faults and failures to see the good that is in them. Let them know that we think and pray about them often. Let them know that we are thankful for them, thankful that they are in our lives. Let them know that they bring joy to our lives. Let them know that the fact that they are a child of God brings you joy. Let them know that you see God working in them and through them, and His work is not done yet. Remind them of the eternal reward that is waiting for them. Let them know how much you care about them. Let them know how much you miss them when they are not around. And make time for them and appreciate the time spent with them. When I was in teacher's college, I remember one day I was up at the front. We used to have these prayer times at the front. And I remember one day I was praying and I said, "God, I just want to know that you love me. I just want to know that you're here with me. I just want to know how much you care about me." And I'll never forget, a big guy named Paul came up and he gave me a big hug and he said, "I don't know why, Ron, but I was over there praying and God told me to come over and give you a hug and let you know that He loves you." If Paul would not have listened to God's small voice and came over and gave me that hug, I would have never saw the answer to prayer that day. Paul was an encourager to me from God. I want you to think about who you could be an encourager to today or later on this week. Maybe there is someone in your past who has made a significant impact on you because of their faith, because of their encouragement, because of their love or support. Give them a call, write them a letter, or send them a text thanking them for who they are and what they mean to you. Do not just learn how to be an encourager. Become an encourager. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for the gift of encouragement that we see in Paul's letters. Help us, Lord, to take practical steps to become encouragers to those around us. We just pray this in Jesus' name.
Nailed to the cross for me. If you can stand, if you can sing, at this point, that'd be wonderful.